Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. What's today? Let's see. Today is Tuesday, May the 7th, 2024. In studio with me is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
And good morning.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And in KCKS is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. Now, folks, unless you're hooked up on the live feed, Tim, you have this is the orangest. Is that a word? The orangest?
It's orange. Shirt.
I've never seen one as orange as that. You look like you're ready to go play 18 holes.
Yeah. Hey, I hope so. I hope that's in my destiny.
I don't know. Too.
I look like...
You're not jumping bandwagons. Yeah.
Well, you know.
If you are, I'm saying horns down.
Well, now, I got kind of Florida, Oklahoma State orange going on.
Yeah.
Maybe Tennessee, Auburn.
Maybe Tennessee.
Well, see, UT baseball's program now moved to number one, and I thought maybe you were jumping.
I'm number one?
Yeah, I thought.
Number
well, I
one.
Thought maybe
you
we were switching teams. To
I am too humble a man.
You are number one, to Tim.
But you know what I'm talking about. You got
I'm 1A. I'll admit that.
1A. 1B. 1B. You got your fan hoppers that go from one team to the next based on whether they're ranked or not. Okay.
Right. They're not really fans at all.
Right.
They're pretend fans if you jump around. Jump around like that. You got to take your team.
Well, that's right. Win or lose.
Yeah. Win or lose or draw. All right, so I am sporting an orange for those watching on the internet today.
I'm liking it.
And I'm committed, win or lose. I've got
there
my
you
state.
Go.
Yeah, he's got his
state.
Mississippi State go. Shirt on. Wesley does. He's destined for a lot of 5-7 seasons for the rest of his life.
Actually, unfortunately, it's going to be worse than
I'm
that.
I'm going to tell you, son.
No,
savor those Liberty Bowl appearances.
It's a good thing that we're winning more than we're losing in baseball.
Cause that's
in
true.
Football, it is going to be 3-7.
I have said for years, I said this long before they won the national title, but ours is a baseball school that competes in other sports.
That's right.
Yes.
There you go.
We're talking about our alma mater, Mississippi State's a baseball school, so – there you go. Now, Tennessee, they're winning in baseball, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they got the orange on. So, all right. A lot to talk about today. Ray, why don't you start us off with some good news? What give us some good news, brother.
Just today, my wife and I were reading the book of Isaiah, and we were reading Isaiah 51, 52, and 53. And everybody knows Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. It's wonderful. The great Isaiah's prediction of the coming of Jesus Christ. But that whole servant song actually begins at the end of Isaiah 52, where he talks about Isaiah sees 700 years in advance that Jesus is coming. And he says, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. And what that really means is there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking in this world, Tim. There's a lot of presidents and prime ministers and would-be leaders who've got a lot of opinions about everything. But my friends, the day is coming when Jesus will show up one more time to the earth and kings will shut their mouths because of him. So if today you feel a little bit uncertain, unsteady, and worried about where the world is going, just a reminder, our Lord is on the throne. He laughs at the men who scoff at him. And the day is coming when our Lord will return. He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I heard a preacher say, when you get up every day, you ought to go to the window, look out to the east and say, maybe today. So who knows, Tim, May the 7th, 2024, it could be today. Get ready, friends. Jesus is coming. And don't be overly discouraged about what comes out of the White House, because there's a lot that could discourage us. Mm-hmm. Kings, when they see Jesus, will shut their mouths because of him, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. Got to keep our perspective, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes, we do.
Keep our perspective. Our perspective and our focus should be on God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. The world of politics and the everyday changing of
culture
of happens. Yeah, that's those are things to be concerned about, and
we have our part to play in those things.
Try to make a difference.
That's right. However, ultimately, we can end the day with the hope, as Pastor Ray Pritchard said here, with our hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Keeping that's a good word there, Ray. Keeping perspective. All right, so who we got coming up on the show today? Daniel Craig at the bottom of the hour. He's through playing the James Bond role, and he's going to be our – no, it's a different Daniel Craig, right, Wesley?
That's right, different Daniel Craig.
Who's this?
Daniel Craig is the one of the founders of Life Camp USA. He met my wife at a Rob West conference, and there was a lot of – similarities and a lot of good reasons that we would have them on our radio program because of the ministry that they are doing for young men.
It's called Life Camp USA?
Yes, sir, Life Camp USA. These are for, they have a camp for young men who have lost their dads in the serving in military or serving in our military. And they have a discipleship camp for them. It is completely Christ-centered, 100%. While also covering a lot of the very similar to Men of Honor on a more in-depth scale and a little bit longer process. And so we're looking forward to having Daniel Craig on with Life Camp USA to share a little bit about what they're doing. He's got several testimonies of how they're making an impact on the lives of young men who do not have dads.
Okay. Daniel Craig coming up at the bottom of the hour, then Abraham Hamilton III. Will be on with us in at 10:45 Central right here on American Family Radio. Is Abe in studio or is he on Comrex? Okay. All right, Chris, what's your first story?
Well, we need to be in prayer for our fellow Americans in the great state of Oklahoma. And I say that because for the second time in about a week to 10 days, the state of Oklahoma has seen some horrible tornadoes. This time around, it occurred in northeastern Oklahoma in a couple of towns, Barnsdall, if I'm saying that correctly, as well as Bartlesville. Barnsdall is northeast of Tulsa. Bartlesville is north of Tulsa. And again, this is about a week after some devastating tornadoes out there. I've got a little bit of audio from a resident of Oklahoma as well as a TV reporter by the name of Devin Lyon. Clip one.
There is a building flat out here. There is the backside missing off the back of this house, and all of the neighbors are out here just trying to see who made it, what made it.
When I drove up here to the highway, it was just littered in broken power poles, exploded wood everywhere. There was the smell of fried wires as I walked up to the hotel, and this rooftop, this tin rooftop, was blown in front of the Hampton Inn, and first responders had to move it out of the way so they could get everyone out of the hotel.
Well, you know, Ray, you're not too far from there, a couple hundred miles.
Last night from they call this part of the country Tornado Alley, right? Starts down in northeastern Texas, like Dallas-Fort Worth, comes right up through Oklahoma, Wichita, Kansas City, and then a little bit into Missouri. And so we were on high alert all the way from Oklahoma up to here, but they have gotten hit in Oklahoma. Chris, what did you say? This is the second time in maybe, what, a week or 10 days, something?
Right. The other one was Sulphur, Oklahoma, which is southern Oklahoma on the map.
Well,
so where's this town? Where's this?
Bartlesville and Barnsdall, Oklahoma.
Oh, I know where Bartlesville is. Yeah. We have listeners in Bartlesville. So you're telling me, what was the other town?
Barnsdall, Barnsdall.
Thing is, you know, if you travel in that part of the country, you know how wide open it is. So, I mean, there's probably, for every tornado that hits a town, there's probably 50 that never, harm anybody. But still, man, as you say, Ray, just devastation when these E3, E4, E5s hit.
And obviously the worst part about it is the deaths that come from natural disasters like this. But right after that, you've got all kinds of people being late or set back from jobs.
Their lives turned upside down.
Yeah, a lot of other long-term consequences from a natural disaster like this.
Right, well, you were going to say?
You had these storms coming through last night. And by the time they got to Kansas City, it was a lot of lightning and a lot of wind, but no tornadoes where we are. But it was that same system. And I was thinking about this, Tim, because It's one thing if you get a tornado at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. because you can maybe see it coming, right? But a few things in life are more terrifying than a tornado that hits after sundown, because you can hear the sound, but you can't see where it's coming from mm-hmm. or where it's going. And it hits without warning. And so mm-hmm. our thoughts and prayers Absolutely. Are with our friends there in Oklahoma.
Absolutely. It just seems like you get in a pattern where you get, you know, it's every afternoon.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like for this time of the year. All right, Chris, by the way, Israel,
mm-hmm.
do you have?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So yesterday, Hamas said, hey, we agree to the ceasefire from Egypt and Qatar. And that kind of took over the news cycle yesterday afternoon. But Israel said and has been saying it was going to move on Rafah, and some sort of operation did
what
begin there.
What is Rafah?
Rafah is an area in the Gaza area of Israel where Israel seems to think Hamas coordinates and plans a lot of its terrorism against Israel in the nation of Israel. So Israel moved on that yesterday, sent some tanks in, after having told people in the area, you need to get out. And by the way, Israel is providing these people with things like food, water, even some temporary shelter. That's been lost in a lot of the news coverage of this, news outlets that want to make Israel out to be the bad guy. And speaking of, let me continue. President Biden yesterday was getting criticized because he said we were going to be withholding ammo shipments to Israel because Biden says enough is enough. You guys have to stop fighting one another here. And I've got some audio from Senator Tim Scott. Senator Tim Scott, who is rumored to be one of the VP picks for one Donald Trump, thinks the U.S. should provide Israel whatever it needs to finish Hamas. Clip 2.
Thank God for the coalition government in Israel that's going forward in Rafah to finish Hamas so that they can clean the sweep, clean the slate, and get back to functioning in the Middle East.
Okay, well, that was Tim Scott, Senator.
Yes.
Well, all right, so this is a situation that is coming to a I think a conclusion in the next few weeks. I don't know how far, because the Israeli Defense Forces have basically pushed Hamas into a small area, in Gaza, which was already kind of small, relatively speaking. And now they're going to have to decide how far they want to push, because you've got a large concentration of people in a small area, and you're going to, if you're going to send ground forces in, it's going to be a lot of casualties, seems to me, for the Israelis. And I'm not, so it's going to be interesting to see, Ray, what happens in the next couple of weeks, because Israel's done about everything they can do to sort of put the, to corner the animal, the
right. Well, finish the job.
Finish the job. Yeah,
finish
go ahead.
The job. Okay. Look, there's a number of problems here. One of them is what has happened to the hostages, the remaining. I mean, some were released, some died, but there's a bunch of them. I don't even know that we have the exact number of how many hostages left to be accounted for. Are they living? Are they dead? Now, I read somewhere that the IDF evidently believes that underneath Rafah, there's this whole network of well-developed tunnels underneath, and that the head man of Hamas, whoever he is down there and is shielding himself with those hostages, which is an interesting final, Alamo-like final last stand. I think Israel is well advised to, if you're going to finish the job, Tim, you've got to do it now. You don't want to be dragging out this thing where we're still hanging on 6 months from now or a year from now. They have backed Hamas into a corner. Either sign the peace agreement and walk away and say we've done all we
right.
can do, or move the troops in there, do what you got to do, get underground, destroy those tunnels, get your hostages back if you can, kill off the head man, mm-hmm. and say we have broken the back of Hamas.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about this, a couple weeks back, I'm going to try to make a comparison here, maybe more like a couple months back, we had the border bill, and the border bill While it's the headline and the title of it was the border bill, we all know that after looking at it further, it provided all the money and all the funds that would go to support Ukraine and everything but the border. Border was very last on its list. Well, this ceasefire proposal is very similar. It's got the title of a ceasefire, but the more that you look at it and look down and further down it, it's only meant to for a political game because it doesn't. It is not Israel that is setting the guidelines for how they want a ceasefire to go, which they should be the driving ship of what a ceasefire should look like. And so, for anybody that's buying the whole ceasefire and Israel's denying it, you need to look at it further than that.
Yeah. Well, Ray, by the way, what does the Bible mean when it says, because it's oft quoted by Christians, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What does that mean exactly?
You know, that's found in a number of places in the Old Testament, especially Psalm 122, that the Psalm of Ascent, as the Jewish worshipers were going up the hill to Jerusalem, they would sing. And the last line of it is, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's the city of God. It's the city that is the apple of God's eye. It's the place in the Old Testament where Solomon built the temple. It was the greatest, most important city in the world from a biblical point of view. So I think it means exactly what it says, Tim, that in our day, we are to pray that the city of Jerusalem would be at peace and that there would be peace throughout the Middle East. So we are praying. We're not praying that just Israel might have peace, but part of that is that there might be peace in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Egypt,
right,
and among the Palestinian people, wherever they are. It's a prayer that God himself would bring peace in that troubled part of the world.
Amen. One thing that may help bring peace is if the world sees to it that Hamas no longer controls what people refer to as Palestine. And I say that because even Hillary Clinton last November said, quote, a full ceasefire that leaves Hamas in power would be a mistake. And she went on to go say that basically it just gives Hamas a chance to, you know, call up people, bring in more weapons, all this other stuff. So they need to figure out a way to not have Hamas control these people and take all the money that we send over there. Otherwise, Wesley, myself, and Brent will be talking about this if the Lord tarries 20 years from now.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start. I'm going to offer some T-shirts to our listeners, and the T-shirts are going to say, "I stand with Hillary." Okay, and I think we can move a lot of these.
There will be a segment one day that's common ground with the liberals. I've wanted to do this for a long time because there's a lot more than people realize. Because right there, we agree with that. She agrees with us.
Yeah. The ones that are sane, halfway sane. Yeah. What she's saying is there. In a serious note. Former President Bill Clinton said the same thing. Mm-hmm. He said that he negotiated a deal with Yasser Arafat back when he was president to basically give the Palestinian people there, the Arab people, everything they wanted.
That's right.
Everything they wanted except the whole land of Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they rejected it. And the only conclusion that the Clintons can draw, Ray, is that the Hamas leaders, the Palestinian leaders, don't want peace with Israel.
And they've said that. Some of the leaders have said that verbally in the past.
Isn't that what the Clintons are saying?
Look, on these campus protests, what are they chanting? From the river to the sea, Palestine must be free.
Right.
The only way that happens is the complete destruction and annihilation of the nation of Israel. How can you expect the Israelis to negotiate with people like that? You can't. There's nothing to negotiate because the other side basically wants you dead.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want your I Stand With Hillary T-shirt, you need to send us an email. And
they're going to go fast.
We'll get those printed up. They're going to go fast. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we certainly hope and pray for, you know, peace to come to Israel and Jerusalem and Israel and that region, as Ray said. And there has been peace. The good news is there has been peace between Israel and Egypt, Israel and Jordan, mm-hmm. Israel and Saudi Arabia, Israel and, you got Lebanon and Syria, which basically Hezbollah is involved there, but they haven't been messing much with Israel because they know they will be wiped out. So
it really wasn't until there was a terrorist attack on October 7th.
So the Hamas terrorists decided it'd be a good idea to butcher
right.
and slaughter.
I'm not laughing at that. That's very serious.
They thought it'd be a good idea to murder 1,100, 1,200 people in one day. And then immediately when Israel decides to respond, they say, we need a ceasefire. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Huh?
And they've all been accused of committing genocide and all this other nonsense.
Listen, when you pick a fight, you have no say in how it ends.
That's back to what I'm saying on the ceasefire. They don't get to control.
Yeah, you butcher 1,200 Israeli citizens. I'm talking about people living on farms. Musical festival, women and children, you butcher them, and then you have the audacity to say, we will set the terms of the ceasefire?
Yes.
It didn't work that way.
No.
It didn't work that way. So this was the reason that the people of Gaza are suffering is because of Hamas.
Yeah.
As Ray said, the ideology, the philosophy is that if you have the ideology that all the Jews need to die and get off the land completely, then there's no room to negotiate anything.
Yep.
Okay, it's a death match, is what I've called it. All right, we're going to take a break. Let's take a break early. We shall return. We're going to talk with a gentleman who his vision was to have a camp for
young men who do not have dads because their dads have died serving in our military.
Wow, what a specific ministry.
And it is overtly Christ-centered. It starts with Christ, and then from there is a lot of discipleship and training that goes on, and I'm looking forward to hearing some testimonies.
Amen. So we'll talk to Daniel Craig, and then also Abraham Hamilton III will be on with us in about 15 or 20 minutes. So a lot of more stuff to talk about on this Tuesday, May the 7th. And we hope you're having a nice day, and we'll see you back here in a few minutes.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Thanks for listening to Today's Issues with Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to watch this here show on video, on the video stream, and who wouldn't? Really want to watch this here show on video stream? There's three options. Number one is ours. We own and operate this, so we won't cancel ourselves. And that is stream.afa.net. Right, fellas?
That's correct. Stream.afa.net.
Not scream. Stream. Stream.afa.net. If you go there. Are you going there?
I'm there.
Go there. Okay. Can you watch the show?
There.
Can you watch the show? I know you're there.
You can, but I'd have to log in.
How long does that take?
Well, I'd have to remember my password.
It's I stand with Hillary.
And don't act like you've never said that yourself. What's my password?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, all right.
Why did you say this? Was there a look on my face?
There was a look on your face.
Like I'm going to judge you? Okay, I'm just looking over here to see what you're
doing.
No,
I'm just overly sensitive today.
Stream.afa.net. You're a sensitive guy. You are. Stream.afa.net. And then you have Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues, right?
That's right.
And we live video stream there and have for years. And then we're back on YouTube. We've been on there about six or eight times.
For now.
But as long as Ed doesn't say ivermectin, I think we'll be okay. But Ed comes in here giving all kind of medical advice to people. You know what I'm saying? We get in trouble, and YouTube says, y'all aren't doctors. We're banning you.
Yeah.
So, we're YouTube. What is it, Brent? It's a different kind of.
Today's Issues Live.
That's okay. It. Thank you.
Got you.
So, if you go to YouTube, just type in Today's Issues Live, and you can watch the show there. So, three different ways to watch the show. And on our Today's Issues Facebook page, we do post the stories that we discuss, so you can see where we're getting our information from.
And I would highly recommend downloading the AFR app as well. AFR app, because there's a third addition to our radio network where we have contemporary Christian music 24/7 that you can listen to there.
And yeah, but you don't want to listen to it during this show.
No, not during this show.
No.
Every show but this one.
Oh, okay.
So it's available. It's not available during this hour.
But we have, what you're saying is we have contemporary Christian music available also on our AFR app.
Yes, that you won't be able to find anywhere else. Right. So I just want to make people aware of that. All our radio programs are archived there, too, at the AFR app. So, of course, you can listen to it 24/7 there as well.
Yeah. If you want to send us an email, it's comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ed. Wesley, you want to introduce our guests?
I sure will. A couple weeks back, my wife was traveling, and she was at the Rob West Conference. She was there as a booth and as a...
She was a booth.
It's a booth.
She identified as a booth?
Apparently you can do that nowadays.
Wow.
That's how she got in free.
Huh?
Okay? She identified as a booth.
As a booth, so you get in free.
She did not do that. She was working in AFR booth at the Rob West Conference.
I got you.
It was an opportunity for people there, multiple different ministries, to come together and to fellowship, to connect, and to get to know each other and see all the different works that God's doing throughout our country. And one of those ministries that came by was Life Camp USA. They came by the booth. They connected with my wife. My wife came back, and she knew how passionate I was about young men who do not have dads, and so much so that AFA has its summer program called Men of Honor, which is coming up. We can talk about more about that another day. But in addition to what AFA's doing for young men who do not have dads, Life Camp USA is doing this, doing similar and even in some cases much, much more. And I'm excited to have Daniel Craig on with us, who is one of the development directors for Life USA. Daniel?
I'm here. Good to meet you, Wes.
All right. Well, good to meet you as well. We wanted to have you on for a couple minutes because what you're doing there is even more unique than what we do. Ours is more general. Yours is a little bit more specific. What would Life Camp USA do? Tell us a little bit about its mission statement and some of the things that it accomplishes.
Sure. So Life Camp USA, we focus on the sons and daughters of fallen heroes. We're doing a lot for the sons right now. They've just seen a huge need for them. And our goal with them is to reach out to these young men who lost a dad through service. And that could be with the military or law enforcement. And we want to help them to just develop that personal resilience to the challenges that they're going to face, helping develop biblical fortitude and restorative healing for what they've experienced. We do that through a week-long camp, all expense paid. We take these young men out to the wilderness and connect them with male mentors that can really encourage them in a way that a dad should. We stay connected with them for an entire year, trying to help them to just recognize what are the values, what are the characters, what are the godly values that they should be developing in their life.
Daniel, this is Tim. How did you get this vision to do this?
You know, it started about 3 years ago. This is our fourth summer that we're working here. And at that time, we had been working with an organization. You probably know them, Samaritan's Purse. They have a program called Operation Heal Our Patriots. And we saw a lot of these returning veterans, injured vets, coming back and getting connected with their wives, just trying to have that marriage counseling that brings them back together, because they've changed quite a bit since being deployed. And that question came to us of, well, what about those men that aren't returning? And what about those young men that now don't have a dad because their dad sacrificed everything for our country, for us? We want to step up for them. They deserve some of the greatest honor that we can give them. We owe them a huge debt. But now that they're fatherless, they're at such risk for extreme detriments, right? And like the list goes on for what these young men need and what they're at risk of. So we decided, hey, we want to help stand in that gap. We want to help these young men. grow up into the men we know that God made them to
be. Where do you hold these camps?
Yeah, so we're based out of Wisconsin, but we're all over the nation right now. We're focusing a lot on wilderness locations. So we have 10 men and 10 young men going to camps at 8 different locations this summer. Those are going to be in South Dakota, in Washington State, Colorado, Montana, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Basically, we'll just work with wilderness camps that are already existing. They'll invite us. We'll get to come in and run our program. We just need to be able to have a place to host our people and to feed them.
So, Daniel, how much does the Bible influence what y'all do and your outline to your program?
I mean, it's throughout everything, right? That's the backbone of what we're trying to do. And even just in the call for true religion, right, to serve the widows and the orphans, that's what we're trying to do. Amen. Here, serving their moms by helping their children, by helping these not fully orphan kids, but, they are in need. So, and that's where all of our lessons that we work with these kids are Bible-based. We are helping them to recognize God's call in their life. It's throughout everything we do, not just the curriculum, but the prayer and preparation that we do beforehand. It's 100% of who we are, even all of our team meetings. Right? We begin and end with prayer.
Daniel,
if it wasn't for God, we would not be doing this.
Amen to that. I got one more question for you. What's one testimony, what's the most recent testimony that you could share with us on the impact that Life Camp has had, Life Camp USA has had on a young man?
We had a young man out of Minnesota, and he's about 7 years old when his dad passed away. His dad was a law enforcement officer and was struck and killed while doing a highway patrol. And since that time, he just experienced, it was difficult to understand the shame that he felt, because now he's the kid without a dad. And, it's hard for me to know exactly what goes through a kid's head at that age when they've lost a dad, but he told us he was just feeling a lot of shame. I couldn't quite understand why his dad was taken and how to relate to other kids. But man, when he came to camp, he met other kids who had lost their dads and was able to recognize, just what an honor his dad performed for us. Mm. Just in that service, in that everyday taking those risks, and the respect that we all had for him, and just bringing him into that community. I mean, he shined. He shined so brightly at camp. And, his mom, after talking with her, she's just, this is what she said. She said, "I'm at a total loss for words. Wyatt no longer feels ashamed of his journey. He's proud to be who he is, and he does not feel so alone. Thank you for providing Wyatt an opportunity to attend Life Camp USA." Her story is just one of my favorite ones, because Wyatt has, just grown so much. Mm. So proud to see how that kid is now confident, studying the word, wanting to be involved and wanting to know more about God. That's just been a blessing for us to see him grow.
How many kids have you had come through your camps?
So grand total since 2021, right? 2021, yeah. We had 6 kids. That was kind of our first test case, and it went well. So since then, we've done about 106 kids total have come through Life Camp. And then this summer, we're scheduled for 80.
So we're
still looking for a few campers. If you know anybody that has family that would love this service, we'd love to serve them, because we're doing 80 kids this summer.
Okay, again, tell us who's eligible and what your contact information is.
So, Life Camp USA, we're serving the middle school sons of fallen heroes, and that can get cut up a few different ways. We define that as law enforcement, first responders, military, whether it was active duty or illness-related deaths or PTSD and suicide-related. We want to serve and mentor those young men. Our girls' camp are full right now, but there will be others in the future. So right now we're just trying to bring in some more sons. That's middle school age, 11 to 14.
Okay. Well, listen, and contact you how, Life Camp?
So, that's just my name, Daniel Craig at lifecampusa.org. You can go to our website, lifecampusa.org. There's opportunities to kind of see more about us, find more contact information up there. And also got some phone numbers there. But you know, feel free to shoot me an email, and I'll connect you with our team members that can bring you on board.
We're thankful for the work that you're doing, Daniel.
Yeah, Life Camp USA, Life Camp USA.
LifeCampUSA.org. Yeah.
And after a great career, you know, acting, I think this will bring more satisfaction to you.
I was never really satisfied with that work anyway. That was just paying the bills.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Good sense of humor.
Hey, yes. Thank you, Tom. Right. Thank you, Wesley.
Thank you.
Hey, thank
peace, bro.
Daniel Craig joining us right there. Not that Daniel Craig.
Yeah. I used to manage the Texas Rangers until I got fired a couple of years ago.
Chris Woodward. Wow. Was that the name of the manager?
It was. Yeah.
So you oft got confused with him, huh?
I actually got an angry tweet from somebody who I think had way too much to drink during a game one time. He was mad about my managerial choices. I printed it out. I have it somewhere.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. Chris Woodward, another Chris Woodward, managed the Texas Rangers baseball team.
And he made some mistakes,
and
apparently.
You got the...
I did. It was funny.
You got the wrath because...
I thought long and hard about responding, but under advice of counsel, I decided not to.
Ray, you ever been confused with anybody else?
You know, I remember a few years ago, I was speaking at Word of Life in New York, and a guy came up to me after one of the services. In all seriousness, he said, "Did you ever play for the Dallas Cowboys?" It was the high point of my public ministry.
Oh, boy.
You're big enough to have played ball.
Oh, man.
You're 2 feet taller than me.
What happened to me one time was, this wasn't being identified as somebody else, but because my name's pretty unusual. But I was in Washington, D.C. at Reagan Airport. This is 20 years ago, I guess. And I was getting my luggage off the conveyor belt, you know, and across from me, like 20 feet away on the other side of the conveyor belt, was my body double.
Is your doppelganger?
And yeah, he was looking at me. I was looking at him, but he didn't look at me long, but I kept staring at him because he looked exactly like me.
It was another dimension, another time.
I don't know. It's just weird. I guess everybody says somebody, you're somewhere in the world, your body double.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you look like me, I'm sorry.
did you go up and talk to the guy?
No, I didn't want to weird him out, you know. Then he just said, "I don't look like you."
Listen.
But anyway, we
need to get off this topic about who we look like, because I got PTSD because I get called Walker all the time. So we need to move on. My brother, Walker, we need to move on. I'm just kidding.
Well, at least he's your brother. This fellow was, I don't know. Never saw him before, never saw him again. This is just a...
from another dimension.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway.
It's an angel.
Was it an angel?
Kidding.
As Chris said, I hope an angel doesn't look like me.
There you go.
Doesn't look like me.
That's right. Yeah.
I need a little more from an angelic appearance. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Chris, Wesley, and Ray. And joining us now is our good friend and colleague, Abraham Hamilton III, who serves as general counsel for us here at our ministry and also host of the Hamilton Corner Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. So on this network this afternoon, if you stay around till 5:05.
Or come back.
Yeah, come back. Yeah. Then we will be able to have his show at the Hamilton Corner. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
So Abe, I wanted to ask you about, we talked yesterday briefly about what's called Title IX, and I described it for our listeners. Title IX is a federal government program created in the 70s or 80s, wasn't it, Abe?
1972.
What was the purpose of it?
Yeah, Title IX was a feature of the Education Amendments added to the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that basically created women's sports as a category at the collegiate level. And it also included things that applied ultimately to the university level beyond sports, basically providing a footing for women really to come to the place to where we now have competitive sports at the highest collegiate level, Division One.
Okay.
NCAA.
Okay. That was what Title IX was designed for, basically to promote women's sports and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and women's equality.
Women's equality. That's what it was designed for back in 1972. Well, so money is distributed across the country by the federal government to promote this Title IX. So what is Joe Biden and his administration decided to do with this Title IX funding?
Joe Biden, pursuant to his commitment to really endeavor to force the whole country to bow to the modern day golden statue of the Rainbow Gestapo, he has added gender identity to the category of protected class status, basically under Title IX, requiring every school, K through 12 school, by the way, college, university, or any entity that receives Title IX funding to allow for basically men or boys who identify themselves as women or girls to have access to the intimate spaces, to locker rooms, bathrooms, and even competition, sports competitions, alongside girls and women.
This is insidious. For one word to describe it. Okay, now, the good news is here, there have been several states. This is kind of why I wanted to have you on, Abe, to tell us the good news part of this, because there are several states that are going to court to fight this Biden
Is it a ruling?
Is
it a ruling?
Regulation.
It's a regulation. It's not
a law. Title IX is a regulation. In other words, what is happening. The federal government sends out money to promote Title IX, women's equality, women's sports across the country, and has done that since 1972. Now Biden says, hey, if you don't promote transgenderism, you're not going to get the money.
But my question, Abe, so is the process that he's going, is it itself legal, or is there another route that he has to go, regardless of how we feel about the transgenderism?
Well, no, it isn't legal, which is why all of these states' attorneys general have sued, because Title IX was passed by Congress. It was a congressional statute. Yep. What he's proposing is a revision of the interpretation of Title IX through the Department of Education.
And he gets to decide. He gets to.
Right.
I wanted to make sure this was on the table.
Biden and his team are the lone deciders of where the money should go, even though it's appropriated by the legislature. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ray.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And they are attempting to basically rewrite Title IX to comply with Biden's obsession with the LGBTQIAP+ social political agenda, sexual deviancy social political agenda. And there's an additional insidious component to this that some people are not even addressing, because one, there's been a focus on women's sports, but it's not limited to women's sports. Right, We're talking about intimate spaces, bathrooms, locker rooms, the whole nine yards. But here's another thing. If this revision was allowed to stand, when it is read in conjunction with other aspects of the law that already exist, it has implications even for teachers and administrators in schools, because teachers and administrators are known as what's called in legal parlance as mandatory reporters when children suffer abuse. So if this Title IX revision is allowed to stand to where now boys have access to girls' restrooms, or if a boy comes home and says, well, I'm Johnny, but I feel like Jane at home, they don't allow me to be called Jane, but I get to school and I want to be called Jane. If a teacher finds out that a family is quote unquote non-affirming of gender identity under the Title IX revision, it could be construed as abuse in the home for non-affirming parents. So now would this put schools and administrators in a position where they have to mandatorily report these parents to Child Protective Services for them having abusive environments in their homes? I mean, this is insidious, which is why all of these states are suing states' attorneys generals, and I expect this number to increase.
Do you have some of the states?
Yes, I have the states right in front of me: Montana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Idaho, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina have all filed suits. That doesn't include the organizations that are suing, because excuse me, because they received Title IX funding that are suing in addition to these states, but the numbers of plaintiffs are lining up against this really extra constitutional, extra congressional, unconstitutional, and extra congressional effort to rewrite Title IX that the Biden administration is pursuing.
You know, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, I don't think we have his,
we do not have audio. A soundbite from him.
He
today.
Said, quote, Biden is abusing his constitutional authority, end quote, and Florida is suing the Biden administration over its unlawful Title IX changes. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is what DeSantis of Florida said, which is basically what these other states are saying too, but DeSantis just said it like this. He said, we will not comply and we will fight back against Biden's harmful agenda. Yeah.
And to give people an idea of how urgent these lawsuits are, the final regulations are effective August 1st of this year. That's according to the Department of Education. So something needs to be done somehow, some way, before kids start going back to school in August.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, you know, it's bad news that Biden is doing this, arm twisting, using federal dollars to try to promote and jam the LGBTQ, especially the T, down the throats of the states. But the good news is that many of the states are, and hope many more will line up and join this. I think they will. All the red states will fight back.
Go ahead. One of the ironic things is what they're hanging over these states is the federal funding. So you literally have the Biden administration saying, you either, you know, bow your knee to our social deviancy agenda, or we won't give you money for your school lunch program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, all right, Abe, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate it. What do you got coming up this afternoon?
I'm really excited to share with listeners and viewers this afternoon a bit of a conversation between Richard Dawkins and Ayaan Hirsi Ali, you know, the former Muslim, then turned atheist activist who's now become a Christian recently. And she was quite pointed in talking to Richard Dawkins about, I formerly mocked Christianity. Now I know Jesus is the truth.
Well, you know, that's interesting because Russell Brand, who is a British comedian and social commentator, we talked about this last week. He also recently, like in the last few days, confessed to believing in Christ and becoming a Christian, being born again. I saw pictures of him yesterday.
I got the link for you, yeah.
Know that Jesus has a link for us, Chris.
Well,
anyway.
To what you're discussing.
Huh? Oh, you meant, yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, okay, I thought.
Well, I'm not the link.
Okay.
Just to clarify.
No, the link, no. That was a bad joke on my part.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is he said he was pictures of him being baptized, he said he gave his life to the Lord. So, you know, with these new Christians. By the way, Abe, thank you, brother. Take care.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay, see
you. All righty.
I'm going to let Abe go. He's got like 27 children. So any
this just in.
Any 1 minute, Maria can get him back.
I
need to turn him loose. Yeah. Anyway, Ray, what about these new Christians, though? We need to, especially when they're celebrities, we don't need to expect them to be teaching on the Book of Revelation next week, right?
Well, I think about Russell Brand. I'm delighted. I read Bear Grylls, right? Mm-hmm. That survival specialist who's a Christian, baptized him, I guess. It's a wonderful start. If somebody says, well, what do you think? Is it genuine? Well, there's only one answer. Time will tell.
Right. That's right.
Time will tell. Yeah. And I think we ought to pray. We ought to rejoice. Right. We ought to pray for Russell Brand that he would grow in his faith and give him room to grow.
Yes.
And make his mistakes, because we all make mistakes as we grow in Christ. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, can you imagine, for those of us in this conversation, we grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We had some experience with proper theology.
Right.
Discipleship.
You take a man who's been a pagan his whole life. He's in his mid-40s, I think. And he gets converted. You can't expect him tomorrow
to have the right the Sunday school answers.
Give him some space.
You know who used to be married?
And give him some grace.
No, Katy Perry.
Oh, he did used not to be realize married that. To her. That's a good thing he's not now.
Give him some space and give him some grace.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us for more of today's issues. Straight ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.